Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
And a good Wednesday morning to you. Hope you're having a good day. This is so fun. I like doing these shows with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist, and she's a good one. And she's we love talking to her, and she has so many things to say, and we learn a lot. At least I do. Good morning to you, Gidi.
Good morning.
We have been talking about 10 things that we all have to give up to be happy.
Yes.
And is this based on this isn't based on any scientific thing. This is just things that people should probably think about.
Well, no, I think this is based on research. It's based on what people have reported.
Mm-hmm.
People with a high unhappiness index do these things.
Oh, really?
So if you want to be happy, you have to give up these things.
The first one, just run down
We've already covered five, and just a quick review. The first one we covered is limiting beliefs. And what this means is having a mindset that doesn't allow for growth or change or doesn't allow a person to be challenged. It's like, I could never do that. This would never happen. And we know in real life, lots of things can happen.
Yeah, or if I don't get to be a professional tennis player, I will never be happy in my life. This is it. This is my whole life is based
example.
On this. This is what I'm going to be. And if I can't do that, then my life cannot be happy.
That's a great
limiting
example.
Limiting beliefs. Okay.
And then number two, I think needs no explanation. Complaining. Mm-hmm. Complaining just makes us miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Complaining makes us feel like victims and like we're powerless.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, dwelling on the past. And the word that we need to focus on here is dwelling. It means to live.
Mm-hmm.
Living in the past can bring unhappiness.
Because once in a while you dwell maybe in a happy moment.
Well, you can think about, you can meditate about, you can remember, but to dwell means to live.
Okay.
Living in the past makes for depression.
Yeah.
Worrying about the future, that's number four, makes for anxiety, right?
Yeah.
And then the need for others' approval is a way of giving away a person's, your own locus of control and giving power to everybody around you.
Mm-hmm.
So if they approve of you, then you have permission to be happy. If they don't approve, then you don't have permission to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine if our Lord Jesus had lived by this.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't have accomplished. He did not. He only needed the Father's approval, not the approval of people.
Right.
So that brings us to number six.
The need to always be right.
The need to always be right. And I wanted to give a little background on this. I've been racking my mind trying to remember the first name of this researcher. A professor at Stanford. Her last name is Dweck, D as in David, W-E-C-K. And she has come up with the notion or the theory of the rigid versus the growth mindset.
Mm-hmm.
The rigid versus the growth mindset. It's a fascinating field. You can see her on TED Talks. You can read her articles online, and she also has, I think it's Carol, might be Carol, but anyway, I'm sure about the Dweck. And let me just explain what these two mindsets are. A rigid mindset says that I must always be right.
Mm-hmm.
It has very rigid beliefs that do not allow for any growth or change.
Is there a narcissistic quality to always having to be right or viewed as right?
There can be. There can also be a OCD quality, obsessive compulsive quality to need to be right. There can be, mental illness involved, or they can just be pride involved and no mental illness.
Right. I mean, sometimes you could over analyze things, couldn't you?
You can. Mm-hmm. And then the growth mindset says, I am a learner. I'm always discovering new things. As I begin to walk in something new, I'm going to make mistakes. This is part of life. Therefore, I will challenge myself to go out and to try to do the things I've never even dreamt of doing before because I feel led that this is what I should do. And if I don't succeed the first time, it's okay. And the growth mindset allows for learning. It allows for development. And she has actually done a lot of research and studies, and she's worked with teachers in inner city schools and basically given those kids the tools of the growth mindset rather than the rigid. And these kids have taken off.
Mm-hmm.
A colleague of mine over at Butte College, who's a math professor, teaches this in her math classes to students who've always failed at math. She just teaches them the growth mindset. And suddenly they're telling her, this is my favorite subject, this is my favorite class, and you're my favorite teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So this need to always be right can just make us miserable.
Well, it's interesting, and I'm going to ask an interesting question. I hope so, because when we talk about, is there a difference between the need? I mean, you need to be right, or just the desire to be right?
Yes, I think there is. Mm. The desire to be right, I believe, is a desire for excellence, mm-hmm. which is the growth mindset.
Mm-hmm.
The need to be right, in my opinion, is perfectionism, mm-hmm. which is death. It's rigid, and it doesn't allow for any kind of growth. It's like, I've got to be arrived right now.
We're going to take a break, continue our discussion about the 10 things you have to give up to be happy. We're on number 6, the need to always be right, and how that can affect the people around you. If you're around somebody who always needs to, you know what, nobody wants to be around needy people, but somebody who always needs to be right, perhaps at your expense, that might be difficult to live with. We'll continue our discussion right after this break.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
All right, welcome back to the show. I have Dee Dee Hansen of The Growing Place. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist, and we'll leave their phone number if you're looking for somebody to talk about maybe some issues that you want to go over. She is located, the office of The Growing Place is at 588-0448, 588-0448. That's the office number. You could also go to tgplace.org. Going into the break, we talked about how damaging it could be to a relationship to live with somebody or be around somebody in the workplace, for example, who always needs to be right. I've been around people in the workplace who always need, and it's not just they want to be right. A lot of them, you know, people, really smart people in the workplace, Gidi, they usually are right sometimes. The best ones, sometimes 97, 98 out of 100 times, they're right, you know, because they're very smart. And I admire that and respect that. But sometimes I've been around people who really need to be right. You could tell the difference. And maybe you can explain.
Yes. Well, the difference is that the people who know who they are and mm-hmm. who have true strength mm-hmm. understand that they're not God and that they can be wrong from time to time. Mm-hmm. And they're eager to learn. Mm-hmm. And they don't get offended when they get corrected.
Mm-hmm.
People who are emotionally immature and maybe their ego has not developed in a healthy mm-hmm. way can become very offended.
Yeah.
If even the littlest thing, they can feel slighted and mm-hmm. they get angry and resentful and vengeful and they want to retaliate. If you just walk in the room and make a statement that they feel is challenging to them and telling them they're wrong, and even if you didn't mean that. So the need to always be right is also a sign of emotional immaturity.
Yes, it is. And you know, as you were saying that, I'm going to do it anyway. And I know you won't agree. You won't tread here, but I'm not afraid to tread here. I look at, for example, our current president, and sometimes when somebody challenges him, he attacks immediately. He seems to be somebody who has a need to be right. And he's obviously a very smart, brilliant man in many ways. But sometimes I look at it and go, yeah, sometimes he just has a need to always be right and make his point. And I think I see that in a lot of people sometimes in my work, in my area where I work in broadcasting and in journalism, there is you see it so much displayed and on television and talk shows where people are arguing. And there seems to be it's a very unattractive quality in somebody.
It is, you know, and it tends to make a person hypercritical.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to point to Trump. I can look in the mirror and think of the times when I've been arguing with somebody and this need to be right thing is just biting me.
And then, but hopefully and I know you probably would. I've had that situation where I've had the need to be right, where I might be discussing something with my spouse or my kids or somebody in the workplace.
And then especially with politics, people really need to be right.
Need to be right. So then you step back, and then usually it takes 10 or 15 minutes, for me anyway, and I'll go, well, I sure acted like a ASS. That was really not a good idea. And then you go back and you say, you know, I really acted like that word, and I want to tell you that I you know, you make some good points. And hopefully that's the area you need to go to. But, yeah, I could see where the desire, not a desire, the need to always, and again, it's not, there are
and
two
it's,
words, it's
yes,
always, need
right.
and always are the two key words in this line.
Yeah.
The need, that's a problem, and always be
yes.
right.
Yes.
When people don't give quarter.
And when we live with people or know people who have the need to always be right, you'll notice that it leads to being hypercritical.
Mm-hmm.
It leads to that mindset where the person is the judge of everything
mm-hmm.
and is always pointing out everybody else's shortcomings and mm-hmm. and faults. It's just an awful, awful place.
Do people who have that need to always be right, are they at all at times the people you run into, or I don't know if there's research, where they become circumspect and kind of look back at themselves and say, circumspect and say, you know, maybe I'm not always right. Or it seems to me somebody who has this type of personality, maybe perhaps disorder, would have the inability to sit back maybe in a quiet moment while they're alone and think, you know, maybe, or they would seem to me to be a personality to just be hard charging and always saying, this is the way it has to be, this is how
well,
I am.
Well, you know, I've worked with clients who have an obsessive compulsive personality mm-hmm. disorder, which is different from the mental disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the traits of the personality disorder is perfectionism
mm-hmm.
and the need to always be right. And oftentimes, as we go into the individual's history, we learn that there was a parent
mm-hmm.
or somebody in their life who had a lot of influence, who had this same rigid way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the OCD personality disorder thing is really motivated by fear and insecurity.
Yeah.
Whereas narcissism, in my opinion, is more motivated by pride or the lack of ego, actually, but that's a complicated issue. A lot of times when you help a client realize it's okay to be wrong,
mm-hmm.
and your world isn't going to fall apart, and it doesn't mean you're worthless, and it doesn't mean that now, you know, somebody's going to lecture you for 5 hours because they grew up under this.
Mm-hmm.
If they ever made a mistake, if they ever didn't reach up to the highest mark, then they were shot down and criticized. Once they get past that, and they get healing in that area, very often they can let go of that need to always be right.
We're going to wrap up our discussion on this subject, the need to always be right, the damage that it could cause in relationships and to your own happiness when we come back and wrap things up. We'll be right back.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
And welcome back to the big show. I'm Jerry O'Lennon. We got another few more minutes discussing things that we need to give up to be happy. And Gidi Hansen is a licensed marriage and family therapist at The Growing Place. Their phone number is 588-0448. In your counseling sessions, Gidi, with people, is this a common area?
Well, yeah, because look at marriages. Look
yeah.
at, you know, you have a husband and a wife. They come in and, you know, I'm right. No, I'm right. No, she's wrong. No, he's wrong. You know, and there's
yeah.
always this. There's almost no concession when they're in that kind of a tangle.
Is it a woman or a man who suffers from, and I would say suffers, or makes the other person suffer from this quality?
Well, the people that I see, because they're in the counseling office, it's usually both of them.
Both of them. Okay. So both the man and the woman are have this belief that
They're right and the other one's wrong. Even if one of them is more vocal and more demonstrative, the other one who may be the quiet one who may feel victimized still believes that he or she is right.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe is just not as vocal about it.
What is it? It must be difficult because if you have somebody, I mean, you're talking about a need. I mean, we're not talking about just a little problem. I mean, or need is a big word.
It is.
And always is a big word.
Yes.
You know, those are big words. And so when you think about that, that would be a very challenging trait to try to correct.
Well, what I do is, what I do and I believe what a lot of therapists do is we just normalize mistakes, being wrong. It's normal. It's part of life. It's part of growth.
Mm-hmm.
When the toddler is learning how to walk, the toddler falls down from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
The scriptures say in the Psalms, the righteous man falls 7 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, perfection is for God.
7 times a day?
That's what it says.
That's a minimum.
Well, 7 is a mystical number,
okay.
Meaning it's complete.
That's interesting.
And so what it's saying is that even in our quote-unquote righteousness, we have faults and we fall.
So Mother Teresa, she stumbled 7 times a day.
Remember, this is an allegory. It means that we're all subject and liable to sin and to falling.
Yeah.
Even to think that I could not make a mistake in 24 hours or not commit a sin is delusional, in my opinion, because it just shows that I don't know myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all it shows.
So, in counseling sessions, is there ever a point where there is somebody who might be so obstinate, where you have somebody who has a need to always be right, where you have to just look at them, or maybe not you or a counselor of any kind, said, and just say, "Look, guy, you're wrong, and you're wrong, and it happens all the time, and you have to face the fact that sometimes you're just wrong." I mean, do you ever have to get that aggressive? And because sometimes people get in discussions at the workplace, and it's like you there has to be a confrontational point where you say, "Look, you're just wrong about this," and somebody has a difficult time dealing with that.
Rather than, that's not my style,
mm-hmm.
but rather than just say you're wrong, I just point to the facts and let them draw the conclusion.
Mm-hmm. Does that work? But because when you're talking about
it's more effective.
It is.
And when they don't see it, then there's usually laughter in the room. As the other people see it, and they act, and they pretend, and they posture and pose, but they saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you can't. People who hold on to that need to always be right, whether it's from narcissism or obsessive compulsive, deep down inside, they feel so small, so mm-hmm. tiny, that if they concede they have been in error in one area, then their whole house of cards could collapse. So you try to create safety rather than, in my opinion, confrontation in the counseling room so that it's safe for a person who's never ventured out into that territory to be able to say, "I was wrong," and still be loved and accepted and embraced, with acceptance.
I was just about to say, it seems like if somebody was, and perhaps suffering from this kind of condition to always need to always be right, I would think would be tremendously liberating to be able to sit back and say, "Oh, well, I guess maybe I am wrong." There's something. It's kind of a nice feeling to be able to acknowledge, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes, and there's something liberating about that.
There's life after admitting that one can be wrong. There's true life because
mm-hmm.
we're just living in this false world.
Mm-hmm.
That we have to control everything and everyone around us to hold up the myth
mm-hmm.
that I'm always right.
But there must be something in the mindset of a person who insists. And I, unfortunately, I don't know anybody like this, but it would be, maybe I was a person like this and you don't even realize it sometimes.
I've gone through periods of my life when I've been like,
yes.
The most insecure periods of my life are when I've displayed this.
Right. That's interesting.
Yeah.
And then you have
it doesn't come from strength. It comes from insecurity and weakness
interesting.
And fear and pride.
Mm-hmm. Well, we only have about another 30 seconds or so left in the show. We are going to be talking about, well, we're out of time right now. There's that music. So we're out of time.
Okay.
Didi, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Next week, we're going to talk about number 7, negative self-talk. This seems like is the inverse of what we just talked about today. We'll take a break. Well, no, we'll do more than take a break. We'll say goodbye, and we'll see you tomorrow. So long, everybody.